Brand guru Stanley Moss is in India to attend the World Brand Congress that starts in Mumbai today. The CEO of the branding think tank Medinge speaks to Mint about branding practices in India. What do you think of branding practices in India in general?
Oh, I think that there's a lot of visionary work being done, and I think that there's also a lot of the legacy of earlier branding ideas that seem to be in place. And you're getting both the benefit of the good things about branding and probably some of the residue of bad attitudes about branding and what got people in the West into trouble. And I think that's the thing that I've been observing, is that there are things that really, we need to tell you what went wrong with us more than what we need to tell you how to do your own brand solutions.
But do you think branding experts in India are following those lessons from the West and studying examples and avoiding that, or do you see the same mistakes being repeated?
I see the same mistakes being made, also because things are proceeding at such an accelerated rate, and also because it's so much larger a marketplace. I mean, it's quite different to have a universe of 1.1 billion people. You have a lot more opportunities, and you have a much larger field for error.
So could you give us some examples, Mr. Moss? Where do you think brands are going wrong?
Well, I think that probably the reliance on outdoor display advertising to such a pronounced degree is one of the hazards, because it is acclimating people who are not yet educated to the hazards of branding to be the victims of it. And I think that one of the things we are learning in the West is that it's probably better for brands to be a little bit more reticent, reluctant, quiet, reserved, and to consider the deeper ramifications of what is being done to the environment. What are the deeper residual issues? Wasted time, communication of a brand's attitude toward community. Brand arrogance, let's say, is one of the big hazards here, that people who are still doing antiquarian, conventional marketing are polluting the environment to their own advantage, but at the expense of the consumers.
So are there any particular examples that have irked you on your several visits to India?
I think last trip, I was struck by Vodafone. And this trip, I think Vodafone and Airtel are sort of fighting a recognition war. They're using this technique of raising their public profile by getting their visual branding in as many locations as possible and thinking that that is doing something to consolidate their brand, to make their brand something more advantageous. They're simply trying to elevate recognition. Unfortunately, when you do something like that, you do it at the expense of the consequences that that sort of action engenders. What's good about it, let's talk about Vodafone, because they seem to have plastered their visual brand everywhere they possibly can, right side up, upside down, at an angle, on any surface, at any scale, and they seem to believe that the number of visual impressions you can get in a marketplace is synonymous with a better brand, and I don't agree with that. In fact, I am so opposed to that idea that I am offended by it. Okay. By trying to raise their profile, they're not really doing anything to elevate my idea of who they are, what they do. They're only telling me that they're not particularly interested in me. They're only interested in shouting loudly at me in an already crowded marketplace. They're abiding by the tenet, he who shouts loudest gets heard best. And I think that that's a very corrupt idea. They've done one good thing, which is they've kept a generation of sign painters and sign installers working. So in that sense, I guess it's good. They've given people in the rural areas access to money that they wouldn't have had for the right to put their brand on any surface at any scale at as many times as they want. But that is the extent of the advantage. The disadvantage is that what they are giving me is a symbolic statement. They're giving me a symbolic statement that they don't care about the environment, my environment, our environment at all. All they care about is my hearing or seeing their name. This particular brand owns the color red in the landscape. If you see red in the periphery, you probably think Vodafone. Is that a good thing? I'm not sure it is. We live in such an overcrowded and noisy brand environment anyway that this action only adds to the cacophony. And we use their products, and what we are looking at here is what we perceive whenever we're not using their products. In other words, in the space between the use of their products. What they're saying to us is, we don't care about your peace or well-being in between the use of our products. All we care about is that you recognize us. Okay. So at the first juncture of brand promotion is recognition, and the intention is to initiate trial. But once trial is initiated, once you have some sort of a familiarization with the brand, then it becomes a reminder of what they stand for, and then it goes into the realm of the invisible. It becomes something where you don't even think about what it stands for anymore. It becomes something that if you see out of the periphery of your vision, you sort of remember it. And I'm not sure that that's what you want with a product. Don't want to simply remember the brand. You want to have a lifetime relationship with a brand that seems like a friend. You want to understand the benefit. And if you're not a patron, a consumer of the brand, then where are you? Then where do you stand? Well, it has something to do then with your passive relationship with the brand. And also, I don't believe that this is a sustainable act on Vodafone's part. I don't think that in any way it contributes to the well-being of everybody at all. In many ways, I think that it is arrogant and selfish. And if that is what the brand stands for, then how can a visibility campaign really do good?
Since branding practices are so target-driven and the audience in India is obviously very different from the rest of the world, how are our brand practices universalized, or is there any sort of universality to these practices?
There are some things that can be said. You know, now honesty, authenticity, and transparency are critical anywhere in the world. To varying degrees. It has to do with the literacy of the population and the access to the internet and the amount of due diligence that people do in their relationship with brands. Worldwide, you can't lie with a brand. As soon as you do, it comes back to haunt you. In that sense, that is what is universal about brands. But another universal principle is that you must be regionally sensitive. I think you have to be much more sensitized to local markets. We found very early on, 20, 25 years ago, that a world car could not be built, for example. You know, Walmart has had terrible luck in China. They had to close down, I think, a third of the stores that they opened because they thought they could import the American shopping model, the American brand model, into the People's Republic of China, only to find that the Chinese had completely different shopping patterns and habits. So that regional sensitivity has an awful lot to do with it. And this is something only now that we're beginning to learn. So that what's good for one audience may not be good for another.
Okay. Is there a brand that you can think has sort of successfully rebranded locally? What do you think of McDonald's, for example? Do you think they've been successful in sort of rebranding and adapting to local climates?
Are you speaking about in India?
Yeah, or in Asia. But yeah, we could use India as an example.
Well, I think that McDonald's does definitely adapt its product to the market. However, product is not brand. You know, what McDonald's represents internationally, it's a family fun, is the essence of the brand, the underpinnings of the brand. That's what McDonald's is about. You know, you have to find the local language, the local idiom for expressing it. And in that sense, I guess they are successful because they have been able to enter new markets. So in that sense, yes, I think McDonald's has done all right. For example, you have vegetarian burgers and chicken burgers in India. You know, in America, it's like three giant beef patties. I think they're very adaptable and nimble in that way in creating new products which appeal to the local market. You see, this is back to this thing about regional sensitivity. It's still the same thing. It's still a place where the family can go and have fun.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Mr. Moss.
Thank you very much for your